In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Well, that's different. Normally, a Palestinian shepherd would guide his sheep. He would help his sheep. He would look for his sheep if they were lost. He may even risk danger for his sheep. But rarely would a Palestinian shepherd expect not to survive these experiences. He always expected to come out alive. Moreover, when a Palestinian shepherd did die in defense of his sheep, that was an accident. A terrible, horrible accident. Normally, he planned to live for the sheep, not die for them. With Jesus, however, it's different. He is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. He is the good shepherd who goes along with his heavenly Father's death for life plan of salvation. Jesus is the good shepherd who loves you and me so much that he willingly dies in our place. And in so doing, he becomes not only our Savior, but he also becomes an example for all who would bear the title pastor and who would follow him in ministry. On a day like today, when fourth-year students have their calls in hand, and second-year students have their vicarage assignments in hand, and first-year students are being licensed to preach and lead worship for God's people. This fact bears remembering. The ministry is for men who would be like Jesus, who would lay down their lives for the sheep. And we work hard to get you to that point, you know. For 4 or more years, we give you multiple near-death experiences. You are pushed and pulled and prodded. You are encouraged and kicked and cajoled. You are challenged and charged up and changed so that you can be like Jesus. So that when the people of God see you pastor the flock, they know and they understand that the good shepherd is behind you and beside you all the way. And it isn't easy forming you to be shepherds like Jesus is a shepherd, I mean. We here want to leave as little as possible of that to chance. For example, I bet you thought that it was merely a coincidence that when you go back to your dorm room at night to study, bet you thought it was just a coincidence that that door swings automatically shut and locks behind you. No, we thought about that. We want you in there. You need to be in there. That's part of the plan. It's part of the formation process. We want you to be a pastor theologian after God's own heart. And that takes time and energy and effort and commitment, both on your part and on ours as well. And as I look out at you today and take note of where you were and where you are and how far you've come, I have to say that for the most part, things are going pretty well around here. God is blessing our mutual efforts to form you for ministry, to form you into the kind of men who will be good and faithful shepherds of the flock. And yet, we will have all made a terrible mistake if any of this high-powered formation for ministry that goes on around here, if in any of this experience you forget that the pastor, the shepherd, is also a sheep. Teddy the hamster came to live with me, my wife, our two little girls, and our overweight beagle dog not long after we moved to St. Louis. He was the Christmas gift our firstborn child wanted most of all. Teddy was just a small little guy when we brought him home to his new home, and from us he received, as far as I could tell, just about everything a young hamster could ever need or want. He had a new cage to live in, a treadmill on which to exercise, good food, clean water, and colorful plastic tubes to crawl through and explore. The only thing Teddy needed to be worried about was the beagle, who right from the get-go viewed him not only as serious competition for our affection, but also as a potential snack. Early one Monday morning in spring, Lori and I were jolted awake by the mournful cries of our eldest daughter. "Teddy is gone," she screamed. "Buford ate him." Well, sure enough, Teddy was gone. One of the doors on his cage had been inadvertently left open, and he was nowhere to be found. I shot an accusing glance at the dog. His ears sagged, his tail drooped. He looked guilty. And still, because there was no sign of a struggle anywhere, no telltale evidence of bad things, I had no evidence upon which to accuse and convict the beagle. So all I could tell my oldest daughter was, "We'll just have to keep looking and hoping and praying that we find him, Anne-Marie, and that he's all right." Well, one day, then 2 days, then 3 days, and then 4 days passed, and still no sign of Teddy. I was beginning to think that maybe the beagle had gotten him. And then, that Friday evening, as one of your classmates, as Randy Wilkin and I were working in my basement, we heard a faint scratch, scratch, scratching sound. We tried to isolate where the noise was coming from. "Here," Randy exclaimed, "over here, it's over here by your furnace." And sure enough, the noise was coming from the inside of our home's heating system. You see, Teddy, away from the safety of his cage, must have viewed the ductwork of our forced air furnace as a nifty place to explore. Once inside, however, he soon discovered that the only way he could go was down. It wasn't long, therefore, before he found himself at the lowest possible point in our house, our basement. Unbeknownst to him, however, he was in grave danger. See, it was still chilly outside, and our furnace was firing on quite regularly. So immediately I called upstairs to Lori. "Quick," I said to her, "go over to the thermostat and shut off the furnace." "Why?" she asked. "Because you do not want the odor of whole burnt rodent wafting through your house," I explained. She went to the thermostat and shut everything off. And then Randy and I set about dismantling the sheet metal above the heat exchanger. And all the while we were working, we heard this pitiful scratch, scratch, scratching on the other side. Teddy sounded as though he was pretty scared and pretty worried. You know, personally, I've never really cared all that much for small rodents, Teddy notwithstanding. Every time I tried to pick him up or hold him, he'd squirt away from me or bury those sharp little teeth into one of my fingers. At best, Teddy and I tolerated each other. But I must admit to you that when I finally pried apart the seams of the sheet metal and shined in the light, he seemed genuinely relieved and thankful to see me. And when I stuck my hand in to get him, he crawled right on board. He was dirty and thin and dehydrated. And his little brown eyes seemed to confess that he had had enough. He was more than ready to go home. Now, the reason I share this story with you all today is because, if you think about it, you are a lot like Teddy. And I am a lot like Teddy. Born in sin, we are a rebellious, self-seeking, self-serving lot. By nature, we are the kind of creatures who want to do our own thing and go our own way. Not really knowing what is best for us, we are all too eager to strike out on our own, just the same. As the saying goes, fools rush in where angels fear to tread. And how often has it happened that you and I have foolishly rushed into places and situations that were dangerous to our health, dangerous to our relationships, dangerous to our spiritual life, dangerous to our faith. Born as rebels, born running away from God instead of toward him, we were destined to keep on going lower and lower and further away from him until, as a natural consequence of our sinful condition, we found ourselves precariously perched before a sure and certain death and destruction. Alone and in the dark, hungry, thirsty, dirty, and in deep, deep need of outside help. Make no mistake about it, my brothers. That is the predicament that we were in. We needed help. We needed to be rescued. We needed a savior. All we like sheep have gone astray. And then the light cracks through our darkness, and a nail-scarred hand reaches in and grabs us. The Good Shepherd calls us by name. He seeks us out. He redeems our life from the pit, and he carries us home in his arms. All we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. My brothers, Concordia Seminary rejoices that it won't be long and you'll be pastors in the church, shepherds of God's flock. But you will make our joy complete if in all your pastoring, in all your ministry, in all the shepherding that you do of God's flock, you remember that the shepherds are always sheep. Sheep who hear and know the voice of their master, sheep who watch for and follow him, sheep for whom he died. Yes, you who would shepherd are the sheep of his flock, and the Good Shepherd lays down his life for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.